The Apostle Paul, who God used to write most of the New Testament, was neither healthy nor wealthy. True on that.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Money makes the world go round. Maybe you've heard that expression. No doubt, money is important. But with many false ideas about money and wealth infecting even the Christian church, in his message this evening, Pastor Brian Grant will bring the balance of Scripture into the conversation. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and listen as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Handling Money God's Way. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A Navy admiral was on a U.S. Navy ship when he noticed that a very bright light was approaching. He assumed that this meant that there was a ship on collision course with them. So he got a big bullhorn and he shouted to the other ship, "Move 10 degrees to the south to avoid a collision." Well, the voice came back from the direction of the light. "You move 10 degrees to the north, for I am not moving." Well, the admiral got on the bullhorn again and he shouted. He said, "I'm an admiral in the United States Navy, and I order you to move 10 degrees to the south." The voice came back, "You move 10 degrees north to avoid a collision." The admiral was getting really irritated. He said, "Did you hear me say I'm an admiral in the United States Navy?" The voice came back, "Yes, I heard. I am the lighthouse." You know, my friends, God's word is like that lighthouse. It's unmovable. It's not going to change. Am I right about that? And my friend, what that means, if God has no intention of changing his mind, it means we had better align our lives in accordance with God's word. Amen? Amen. You know, it doesn't surprise me that the world today is decided to reject God's word. More and more, as we listen to the news, the world has rejected God's word and it continues to reject it. But you know, the part that is very disturbing to me and to many of us is that so many churches and Christians are starting to put aside God's word. Have you noticed it? There is a trend against rejecting God's word. Somehow it seems like the church believes that we have a better idea. And so the Spirit of God prompted us to do this special series on 1 Timothy, which we entitled Doing Church God's Way. And today we're going to close this series as we take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this morning I want to share a message with you entitled Handling Money God's Way. Now let's be clear. You know, some of you know I'm a certified financial planner. I have no intention of giving you a money management seminar this morning. My plan this morning is to simply use the text to look at some big principles that I believe God has put in his word that will help us in managing our money God's way. There are some big principles in this text, and we're going to stay with the text. We're going to break this text down to see what God has to say to us. So if you have your notes, pull out the notes. They're in your bulletin for those who are visiting. Pull out the notes, and the first thing I want you to put in your notes is simply this: we must cultivate discernment in giving. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, it reads this way: "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, and suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, means of making money. From such, withdraw yourself. As Paul was getting ready to talk a little bit more about money, he first told Timothy that there are some church folks, some Bible-toting folks, that he needs to withdraw himself from. You know, this may come as a little surprise to some, because I've heard people say that once somebody is using the Bible, once somebody is preaching from the Bible, that's okay with them. They're okay with that person. But listen, Paul is telling Timothy, listen, there are some folks that are using the Bible and preaching from the Bible that you need to withdraw from. And this morning, God wants us to know, and all those who may be watching by means of the internet, he wants us to know that even though we're believers in Jesus Christ, there are some other Bible-toting folks that we need to stay away from. God is warning us about religious hucksters, and he's saying to us we must cultivate discernment in giving, because he does not want us giving his money to religious hucksters. You know, verses we just read makes it evident that there were many of them in Ephesus. And Paul didn't mince words in describing them. He said they were arrogant, corrupt, they lacked understanding, and they were destitute of the truth. That's a whole lot he said about them folks. My friend, there's a whole explosion of those religious hucksters in a world today, men and women who hold the word of God in their hand, but they twist the word of God to enrich themselves. And I'm going to be calling a spade a spade. You need not write to me, but many of them who are proponents of the word of faith movement are among those who Paul would say, stay away from. You said, Pastor, why would you call out somebody? Well, let me tell you why I'm calling out the Word of Faith movement. Because listen, at the heart of this movement's belief is the faith force, or the force of faith. They believe God created man in his physical image. Stay with me now, because some of you are not familiar with exactly what these people believe. So let me just, in 2 or 3 minutes, give you the kernel of what they believe. They believe God created man in his image as little gods, and that before the fall, stay with me, Adam and Eve had the ability to call things into existence by using the faith force, but they lost the ability to call things into existence because of sin. So to correct this situation, Jesus gave up his divinity, became a man, and died on the cross. In case you missed some of the heresy in what I have already said, I just want to point out to you that we were never little gods. Man was never a little god. Adam never called anything into existence. If you take time to read the book of Genesis, you will see Adam wasn't making anything. Adam was only naming what God had created. Am I right about that? He didn't call a thing into the world. And you hear them all the while calling things into existence. We could call nothing into existence. But not only that. Listen, Jesus did come to die on the cross, but he never gave up his divinity. Jesus Christ was always and will always be God. Amen? Amen. But it gets worse. For they believe that after Jesus died on the cross, he took on Satan's nature, and then he went to hell. After that, he rose from the dead with God's nature. Are you seeing this mix-up confusion? He went to hell, with man's nature, Satan's nature, then he rose from the dead with God's nature, and then he sent the Holy Spirit to replicate the incarnation in believers so we can become little God again as God originally intended. My brother and sister, if you're watching these fellows, no matter how smooth they sound, God says stay away, because what they're preaching is heresy. As a result, they say Christians can activate the faith force and bring things into existence. I can hear them right now. The force of faith, the faith force, and bring it into existence by the words they speak. That's why they call the word of faith, you see. Because by the words they speak, they can literally bring things into existence. And two of the main things they say they can bring into existence are health and wealth. Am I right about that? They can bring those are the two they push the most, and you can call in for the prayer cloth. You can call in for anything. They can bring health and wealth into existence because God has promised health and wealth to every believer. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about this, but this is not my message, so I'm just going to breeze by here and just say that this is hogwash. For the Apostle Paul, think of this. Oh, if we'd only use our brain sometimes and allow the Spirit of God to allow us to use the brain he gave us. The Apostle Paul, who God used to write most of the New Testament, was neither healthy nor wealthy. Chew on that. If these guys are telling us that God has promised health and wealth to every believer, how is it that the Apostle Paul, who God used to write most of the New Testament, neither had health or wealth? He pleaded with God to remove this thorn in the flesh, and God said no. He couldn't call anything into existence. You see, the doctrine of the force of faith is designed to encourage folks to send money to these preachers, hoping that they will get health and wealth. So we send the money to them, hoping to get health and wealth. And these guys have amassed fortunes. One guy recently asked for you to send him money because he was buying a new, what, $85 million plane. And guess what? Folks sent him the money. Okay. Listen, I heard one of these guys a few months ago. You know, we were still chewing on this series, and I watched one of these guys on TV, and one of the well-known ones, and the interviewer said that, you know, that people, what would he have to say to people who say he's a millionaire? And he said to the interviewer, he says, "I'm insulted. I'm insulted, for I am not a millionaire. I'm a multimillionaire." He says, "I'm a multimillionaire, for that's what God does for the righteous." When I heard him, I said, well, if that's what God does for the righteous, he needs to apologize to the 12 apostles. Because 11 of the 12 apostles were martyred. They were killed. They were not multimillionaires. They were martyred. And John the Apostle, who was not martyred, he was exiled on Patmos. He had a life of difficulty and challenge. And my friend, any Christian who buys into this nonsense that God has promised the righteous health and wealth, listen, you are making a huge mistake. Listen, God promises us that in this world, we are going to have what? Tribulation. Oh, we don't like that message anymore. The Christian church doesn't like that message anymore. The Christian message now would rather a message and send money to people who have changed the word of God, twisted the word of God to make money. And the first thing that the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, as before he even starts talking about money, he says, stay away from these folks who are twisting the word of God, believing that godliness is a means of making money. Folks, don't send your money to anyone who uses the word of God to make money from it. First, we must cultivate discernment in giving. But the second thing the text points out is that we must cultivate a spirit of contentment. Some big principles God is giving us, and these big principles have everything to do with how we manage money. We must cultivate a spirit of contentment. Here's what it tells us in verse 6 of chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Here's how the New Living Translation puts it, and we'll put it up on the screen for you. The New Living Translation puts it this way, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Do you want to be wealthy? It's right there. It says true godliness with contentment, that by itself is great wealth. You know, in his book, Balancing the Tightrope, Barry Powell states that in a survey of over 200,000 college freshmen, 76% listed financial prosperity as the most important goal in their life. 76% listed financial prosperity as the most important goal in their life. And you know, there are many things that would encourage us to pursue financial prosperity. I remember years ago, my wife and I were solicited to get into Amway. And after we joined Amway, we were probably the shortest people they had. The first meeting, they told us we should get cut out a picture of a big mansion. And we were to put the picture of the big mansion on the TV. Anybody remember those days? You put the big mansion on the TV, so every time you pass the TV, you just keep focused on your goal to get this big mansion. Man, I left that place. But listen, when financial prosperity becomes our goal, watch out. For the Bible says, put this down. Pursuing riches will prevent true contentment. Young people, I want you to hear what God is saying. Pursuing riches will prevent true contentment. Young folks, stay with me this morning because I don't only want you to listen to this. There's something else that is very important that you get. So don't go to sleep just yet. I'll tell you when you can go to sleep. Here's what the Bible tells us in verses 7 to 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. For we brought nothing into this world. Am I right about that? And it is certain we can carry nothing out. Behind the coffin, there ain't no U-Haul. And having food and clothing, with those things we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Listen, pursuing riches will prevent true contentment. So let me just say a thing again. Is it clear in the scripture that God wants us to pursue what? Contentment, not riches. Amazingly though, if I may just say one last word about these prosperity preachers, they are actually contradicting the word. It clearly says don't pursue wealth to pursue contentment, and somehow they have twisted God's word and they are being very successful at it. Why? May I suggest, I believe it's because they know that many Christians want to be rich. The reason they are able to get us is because many of us want to be rich. But the Bible teaches, put this down, that pursuing riches is spiritually destructive. 1 Timothy 6:9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. For the New Living Translation puts it this way, people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them, listen, into ruin and destruction. Westerners who trap animals in Africa have discovered that one of the hardest animals to catch is the ring-tailed monkey. But for the local Zulus, trapping a ring-tailed monkey is pretty easy. The Zulus know that these monkeys really enjoy the seeds of a certain type of melon. So what the Zulus do is they get a melon, they cut out a hole in the melon, the top of the melon, just large enough for the monkey's hand to get in. And they tie that melon to a vine, and shortly after, the monkey comes to the melon. He puts his hand in for the seeds. He grabs a hold of the seeds, but his clenched fist is now too large to come out of the hole. And that monkey will struggle and struggle and struggle. But the one thing the monkey will not do is what? All he needs to get free is to change his mind and let go. But that monkey ain't gonna let go to his destruction, because those who are hunting for him, they're gonna catch him, because and they'll catch him holding on to his seeds. My friend, what a picture of what happens when we pursue wealth. God says, listen, it is destructive. People who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. But does this mean that Christians should never be rich? Not at all. Because if we take time to look, and we could tell, I'm going to tell you a couple of stories, but let's look, I'm not even going to turn to it because you know this story so well. You remember in Genesis chapter 13 that both Abraham and his nephew Lot were so rich that the land could not support all the cattle they both had. You remember that story? And so Abraham said to his nephew Lot, he said, Lot, you go and you pick the land that you would like. Now, Abraham is the older one. He really had the right to pick the land first. But Abraham was not pursuing wealth. Abraham said to Lot, Lot, you pick. And of course, the Bible tells you what Lot did. Lot looked and he saw which land was better watered. And so Lot said, this is what's going to be better for the cattle. The cattle are going to thrive over here. And so Lot chose the best and left Abraham with the what's left. But the Bible later on tells us that Abraham was exceedingly rich. You don't have to pursue, young men, young women, older folks, you do not have to pursue wealth, because God can bless us abundantly if he so chooses. Being rich is not sinful, but pursuing riches is. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.